to the Red Pill Retirement Podcast, where we give you the raw, unfiltered truth about retirement planning in the modern age. Pensions and 401ks are quickly becoming a thing of the past, so we're here to share resources and recommendations that will help you create the retirement lifestyle you've always dreamed of. If you're ready to take control of your financial future, we're here to help. Let's get started. Hey everyone, we've got another great interview with Mr. Ian Bond for you today, and we are talking all about how retiring abroad does not have to be a scary endeavor. Now, I know a lot of people think about the opportunity to retire abroad, and they get nervous thinking that there's going to be a huge capital requirement, a resource requirement, it's going to be a logistical nightmare, and on top of all of that, they're going to have to move very far away from their friends and family, and maybe even leave their career behind. But in this episode today, we're going to talk about how a lot of those fears are unfounded and overblown, and how retiring abroad is a viable alternative for most of the professionals out there. And in fact, it is an extremely attractive option for a lot of professionals, especially those who may not have been as proactive with retirement planning as they might have liked, or have had some kind of life event that has kind of presented a financial shock to their nest egg, and they're looking to either accelerate their retirement timeline or extend their financial runway. And we talk about how that can be done by moving abroad and taking advantage of things like building a location-independent business, leveraging your expertise as a professional here in the United States to gain an influential position at a company abroad, also leveraging currency exchanges to double, triple, or even 10x the value of your current nest egg because you're living now in a country where the dollar is worth 10 times the amount that it would be here in the States because of the exchange rate with the local currency in whatever country that you move to. So some of the key takeaways that we talk about in this episode are those benefits that retiring abroad offers, as well as some of the trade-offs that you will have to be accepting of, and why maybe they aren't quite as concerning as most people might feel. And then we also talk about a couple of different models for testing out retiring abroad as an opportunity or as a next step in your life without selling all of your worldly goods and relocating full-time to another country that you may or may not be familiar with. And then finally, we really hammer home the point that this is a realistic opportunity for anybody who is interested by telling the story of a couple who is doing this right now. So first, we share Ian's personal story, and then we share the story of a couple who took a slightly different path, but they are currently in the process of relocating from the US to Mexico, and they've doubled their nest egg in the process. So it really is a great episode, and if any of that strikes a chord for you, I strongly encourage you to keep listening. And of course, as always, let us know what you think by leaving a review in the iTunes store and wherever you get your podcast. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with Ian. Hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back to the Red Pill Retirement Podcast. My name is James Sowers and I'm your host, and I'm joined as always by the lovely Mr. Ian Bond. Ian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, James. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. The weather here in Cleveland is beautiful, and people are outside walking their dogs, jogging, working in the yard. And this is just my favorite time of year. It's like energizing to see all the activity going on. I hate the winter here in Cleveland. As much as I love the city, it just kind of drags me down. So like, I'm full of energy right now. I don't know about you over there in Dubai, but
yeah, well, it's a little warm over here right now. So, you know, we didn't lose LeBron here, but we do have a little, we do have some heat and humidity. So, but actually, skies are, crystal blue. It's gorgeous. So, although it's warm.
Right. Well, hey, that's one of the considerations we're going to talk about today, because today's episode is all about retiring abroad and how it is a valid choice to either accelerate your retirement timeline because you're leveraging things like currency conversions and location independence, or extend your runway and you take the nest egg that you have and use those same principles to kind of double the value of your money because you're moving to a country where the US dollar is worth more. So we will start off, I guess, by telling a little bit more about your story. Now, I know, Ian, you made the transition internationally through your employer and accepted a position there. And then that has kind of overflowed into a lifestyle now, it sounds like. So I'll let you tell the story, but let's start off by giving an example from your personal experience.
Yeah. So my personal experience is actually probably demonstrative of the way, it has worked for a lot of people who work overseas. I had a long career where I traveled overseas. And so I've worked on four continents. And lo and behold, one day in 2013, I was contacted by an in-house recruiter for a bank over here, and started a dialogue. Would I be interested in an opportunity to look like this? And so, I responded, checked out the person, find out, make sure that it wasn't, some, kind of fishing expedition. And I said, I'd be interested. And so arranged a Skype conference call where I heard more about some of the details. And, I threw my hat in the ring. And then over what was a fairly long period of time, I would call it about 9 months, 8 or 9 months. I did Skype interviews, ultimately a trip, and then ultimately got an offer, and then fairly quickly relocated in September of 2014. Because everything kind of came together quickly at the end, and because it was a new thing for my family, I moved over here, 8 time zones ahead of New York City where we were living, and my wife and kids stayed behind. And we had paid for schools. And to be honest with you, you don't know if things are exactly going to work out the way you think they're going to work out. I also kind of felt like, coming into a new situation, it would be good for me to have, total focus. We, kind of had the opportunity to relocate after the first term. But the school situations here really didn't permit it. The schools were kind of full. And so my family actually came over the Christmas holidays, had a wonderful time. And while the September to December timeframe went fairly quickly, between, the beginning of the year, January, when they went back to the States, and when they ultimately moved over here, which was kind of the end of June, that went very, very slowly for me. I mean, it was just kind of, I missed my family a lot. I've described in prior sessions with you how I, was able to utilize all of the free time that I had because I had, very short, I didn't have, family responsibilities. So I spent a lot of time learning about what I call the new economy. But that's how it all happened. And quite frankly, it happened because of my professional network. I was recruited off of LinkedIn. And it's because of some of the firms I work for. The principals over here knew of my reputation from a firm that we worked at together, although I didn't know them at that firm. And, I was one of the candidates that made the shortlist. And then ultimately, during the interviewing process, and of course, I only know this now, but during the interviewing process, I guess I did, relatively well. And lo and behold, and, in very quick fashion, at the end of the summer of 2014, in a fairly short period of time, got on a plane with a couple of suitcases and relocated. So that's how I got, that's how I ultimately moved abroad after spending an enormous amount of time on planes, traveling from the U.S. to places of business that were outside the U.S., which I did for, the better part of 3 decades.
Right. And so your transition was kind of an opportunity that arose. And frankly, it sounds like it was a risk that you took. I mean, you weren't really familiar with working internationally or working abroad. So it was kind of something that you had to learn as you went along. But now that you have had some experience there and you've been doing this for a few years, I believe you told me offline that you're thinking about living abroad indefinitely and your family's on board. And so there must be something about that situation that's pretty awesome. So let's talk about some of the benefits of living and working abroad, especially somebody that might be based in the U.S. now, and this would be a transition for them that they'd be making either through their employer or maybe as a voluntary like life transition or a new chapter in their life. What are some of the benefits that you've experienced?
Sure. Well, just to clarify, I spent an enormous amount of time working abroad, but not living abroad. So it's easy when you get, even if you're gone for a week, you get on a plane, you go back to wherever you live. But the benefits of living abroad, I think, there are many. the, you know, first of all, I think there's a fascinating cultural aspect of moving your family and living in a another country. There's the local population, which, you know, is wonderful here. And then there's the expat population. You meet incredibly interesting families. And I think frankly, the international families that we know, you know, they're incredibly, very accomplished. First of all, there is a different perspective they bring to life because they do this, and they're very close families. And so we appreciate very much the people that we've met, and we've made some great friends. We can talk about, you know, kind of some of the financial trade-offs. You know, there are great benefits to being an employee internationally. Things like, you know, you get paid for a trip home every year. You get usually, you know, some kind of a bonus for, you get various bonuses. And, you know, generally things like healthcare coverage for when you work overseas are much better than they are in the States. So, although I think in lots of countries where I know people working, healthcare is diminishing as a benefit. We rarely come out of pocket for anything healthcare related. I'm trying to think of the last time that I came out of pocket for something. We had a family member that spent some time in the hospital, and we never saw a bill for, you know, a 4 or 5 day stay in the hospital. So, you know, that's amazing. Now the, you know, flip side is you are leaving behind friends and family. Okay. So I have an older mother. She's in her mid 80s and we Skype together. So my mother is, you know, facile with using Skype. It's not the same. And it's a long plane flight to get everybody to go visit. Now, you know, one of the things that I think everybody plans on when they move abroad is that they're going to get visited by people a lot. It happens a lot less than you think. I mean, you think you're going to get visited, you don't. We actually skinnied down and gave up a bedroom a couple of years ago because no one came. Like we had a few people come, but we decided that we didn't need an empty bedroom for most of the year. I would say the biggest thing is, you know, on the negative side is, you know, you have to kind of deal with leaving people behind. I find it very easy these days with communication to talk to people, you know, as frequently as I want to. You know, I was living in New York City most recently, and my siblings were living in Miami, Florida. So I didn't see them that frequently anyways. And so, you know, yes, I left other friends behind, and my kids left their friends behind, and my wife left her friends behind, but we replaced a lot of those relationships. And the people that I am friendly with professionally in the States, I'm still friendly with, and we stay in touch, but, you know, kind of everybody moves on in their career. So those would be some of the things I would mention. You know, if there's anything you'd like to dive into more deeply, I'd be happy to go there.
Sure. So on the benefits side, I think one thing that comes to mind to me is if you are thinking about retiring abroad because you want to live internationally or you want to travel, as we all know, if you relocate to somewhere in Europe, then you can travel even more because the countries are closer together. So you could visit more countries once you establish kind of a home base or a headquarters over there abroad versus in the US. You're not flying across an ocean every time. So I think, you know, maybe that's one of the secondary, but it's not necessarily a professional benefit, but if travel is something that interests you, retiring abroad and making your new home abroad gives you, it makes everything else a lot closer to go visit those other countries that are neighboring wherever it is you're going to be living out of. And then one other specific thing that I want to make sure I get your input on is the perception or the perceived value of professional work experience in the US when you move abroad. So when you go to another country and you come in as an executive or a senior professional, a manager, a director level with experience at a big US corporation, that there's a certain perception around that in other countries that exponentially increases your value to an organization that might be operating over there, whether it's a branch or a sub-brand or a product line or something like that you're going to be working on for maybe a parent company internationally. Is that true in your experience?
Yeah. So let me answer the second part first. I'll go back to your first part. Look, there's just no question that the blue passport from a credential standpoint gives you an enormous benefit, certainly in the part of the world that I work in, but every other part of the world that I'm familiar with. You have, you know, just enormous credibility. If you've worked in a large corporate setting, you have seen things by being in, you know, a big city, like, you know, a big city, or being, you know, working for a U.S. corporation that, you know, quite frankly, a lot of people don't see. So it's a huge advantage. And, you know, with all due respect to my friends from the UK, my friends from Canada, my friends from Australia, you know, the American passport is still very, and experience is very, very highly valued. So that, you know, goes without saying. Now, switching over to the first part of your question, I've written, you know, many times that I keep a tab open on my browser to a site called numbeo.com, N-U-M-B-E-O.com. And there they have a cost of living calculator. And I compare when I'm reading, you know, kind of when I'm reading about, you know, some faraway place, I compare the cost of living to New York City. And one of the reasons I use New York City is that it's on the scale on Numbeo, it's ranked as 100. And so I think right now the number that they use for Numbeo is $7,700 per month is what people spend. And this is how it compares to the city that you want to compare it to. Now, I know what the relative cost of living is in New York City, and it's more than $7,700 for most people I know. But I can shade the numbers and say, well, you know, a three-bedroom apartment in the center city in New York is underestimated by this amount. So it's probably underestimated, you know, kind of where, you know, I'm looking at. Now, let's go to the specific example you get. If you were to run the number of New York City versus, let's say, Lisbon, Portugal, which I was visited with my family last summer, you know, you would find that it costs $7,700 per month in New York City. And the equivalent cost of living in Lisbon, Portugal is about $3,000. So, you know, Miami, Florida is going to be $5,700 or $5,800. It's very hard to find a place in the United States for $3,000. And if you do find a place for $3,000, you're not in a Western European capital city where you can be, you know, skiing in Switzerland in a short, you know, train ride and driving to Paris, you know, with your family, or, you know, hopping on a plane and going to the UK for a weekend. So, you know, my family happens to speak Portuguese because my wife is from Brazil. But, you know, so that's one of the reasons that we went to look at Lisbon. But the reality is that going to your point that right now the American dollar is so strong that it's just ridiculously cheap to look at places, you know, and even Western Europe is cheap. Paris is cheap. Okay. I guess probably, you know, the places that might still be expensive, you know, London would still be quite an expensive place. Switzerland is still quite an expensive place. But, you know, you're typically not going to retire to Zurich. You know, you're typically not going to retire to London. You're going to retire someplace, you know, outside of. And so you can still find, you know, plenty of very reasonable places, you know, if you choose to live abroad and you know, at a fraction of what it costs in the United States.
Right. And you don't necessarily have to sacrifice all the amenities that you're used to maybe in a U.S. city, like transportation. You've got restaurants and dining, the arts. I mean, all those things exist in a place like Lisbon, but you're getting all of that for effectively half the price when the cost of living factored in.
I know a number of people who've retired to Mexico. Mexican peso is, you know, just flat on its back. It's, you know, almost 19-20 to the dollar right now. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, it was 12-13 to the dollar. So it's had a massive depreciation. In Mexico, you know, you have Costco's and Walmart's right down the road from you, depending on where you live. So, you know, probably the number one country that that North Americans retire to is Mexico. Now, in Mexico, you can live in the Central Highlands and live at a high elevation. And it can be, you know, quite cool and temperate, or you can live on the beach, you can literally pick the climate that you want. You could pick the population size that you want. And in some cities, I think the predominant population is the expat population. So, you know, in the Lake Chapala region, Ahiyik, I mean, that's, you know, very, very well-known expat population in places like that. Same with San Miguel de Allende in the highlands, closer to the coast in Merida, a place that I love. You know, that's, you know, much, you know, it's very close to the beaches and, you know, it's, you know, warmer and hotter if that's what you're looking for. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the choices are endless.
Right. And, you know, we've covered, I think, the benefits in great detail. There's a lot of upside to retiring abroad and living and working abroad. If you can get over that primary sacrifice, which is you're going to be moving away from your friends and family that you may have back here in the States, and maybe to some degree, your professional network. But the counterpoint to that is with all the technology that we have and the internet operating globally, it's never been easier to keep in touch with somebody who's 5,000 miles away than it is today. So you don't necessarily have to reduce those relationships down to nothing. And like you said before, people may not visit as much as they say they will, but they can. They can come visit you and you can still go home. So if you can get past that, then it sounds like retiring abroad and building a career and a life somewhere other than the U.S. is a great retirement option for people in certain situations. So if somebody's sitting at home listening to this and they say, hey, this all sounds great. I want to live in a climate that is perfect all year round. And I want to have all this culture and this travel, but I don't even know where to get started. I know that you've written about several different models that you can use to make this transition. So maybe we could cover those briefly and tell the folks at home, like some of the options that they have. They don't necessarily have to live abroad full time. So talk about some of your ideas around that.
Okay, yeah, sure. So when we first started writing about you know, living abroad, I got a number of questions, and so we accumulated the questions. We actually published the book, which you can buy on Amazon. It's called Retire Abroad: 49 Questions Answered. And so we literally took all of the top questions and tried to answer them so that, you know, they wouldn't keep getting questions, to be honest with you. And I thought there was a lot of bad information out there. Probably the biggest question that I got subsequently is, well, you know, how do I accelerate this? And so we have a separate book called Fund Your Retirement. And that's all about how to make money in a location-independent fashion so that you don't have to live in a U.S. city and you can earn money in dollars and pay for living expenses in pesos or euros or Thai baht or whatever currency you choose to do it in. So Retire Abroad, 49 Questions Answered, and then Fund Your Retirement are two resources that you know we've published as books. But you know, I think the use of technology today, the world is just entirely connected. And so you know, you can be in touch with people as much as you want. I mean, really, the question is, how good is your Wi-Fi? You know, and here we are, you know, 8 time zones away. And I talk to people, you know, kind of in my mornings before they're going to bed. My daughter is a college student. I spend time, you know, she's a night owl. And so she's in the U.S. And so I talk to her in my morning, you know, right before she's going to bed. And then, you know, in the late afternoon, the United States starts to wake up. And depending on where somebody is, East Coast or the West Coast, you know, it's just a question of, you know, connecting with them. So you know, the technology is so good. It's just amazing.
Right. And let's make sure that so we've got those resources and we've got the point addressed where, you know, you can stay in touch with the folks at home. But let's make sure that we touch on the three different like models that you described to me about how you can live or retire abroad. But you don't necessarily have to go all in. You can kind of set up a home base in the U.S. and hop out for a little bit. So what are your thoughts around those?
Yeah. So, okay. I probably, you know, when I handicap kind of how people think about it, there's a group that's probably maybe 15% of the number of people that I have kind of interacted with that are hardcore. They want to leave the United States. They want to move abroad. They have little, I would say they have little regard for, you know, they've already solved for this in their minds. They have little regard for staying too much in touch. They are clearly, you know, kind of the wanderers and explorers, and they would go back, you know, probably, but they're not that concerned about it. The biggest section of people are people that, you know, clearly they're thinking about retiring abroad or moving abroad, but they still probably are going to have, you know, a foot back, and they're thinking about how to make the transition. And then the third group is the group that definitely wants the ability to travel, but they probably are going to use the U.S. as a base to travel from to start with.
Right. And so the point there is you don't have to jump all in. If this is something you want to test out, you can go live abroad for a month or even 2 months and just kind of get a feel for it. And if it's not quite right, then you just come home and you're back to your current situation. So you can mitigate the risk that way by kind of testing the waters. But maybe to bring all of this home, Ian, you could tell us the story. You told me a story of a couple who actually put this into practice and they changed their life electively. There wasn't a job opportunity, anything that was going to take them abroad. They were in maybe that second bucket, or maybe even that first bucket, you'll be able to tell me, but they wanted to try this out. And so they took decisive action to validate the opportunity and see if it was a good fit for them. So why don't you tell that story real quick to bring us up?
Yeah. So around the beginning of the year, a couple reached out to me and they were committed to retiring early, and they decided to sell their home, which was on the market, which ultimately sold, and they now have cash, and they have chosen where they're going to go. They're going to go to Mexico to start. They have plans to travel around from there, but they want to start in Mexico. And all they're waiting for is for the husband's pension to vest, and they will have a pension which they can live off of. They have a smallish nest egg, but they aren't anticipating a big lifestyle. And they are now solving for the third piece of that, which is how to fund a bigger lifestyle should they want to. And so they're working very diligently, you know, at one of what I call the big three, which is coaching, consulting, freelancing, or e-commerce. And they're looking into how they each might do that individually or how they might team up to do things. But they're gone in, you know, the next, you know, by the end of the summer, they're gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and what I love about that story is we're basically providing the listeners with two different models here today. One is yours, where you made this transition through an opportunity that came up professionally. And yep. The other one is theirs, where they are taking matters into their own hands. They know what kind of future they want. And they're altering their lifestyle in a way that isn't necessarily risky, but is going to get them one step closer to that world where they are living abroad and they're living the lifestyle that they want. They're in a location that they want to be in, and they have the opportunity to go to other locations they want to go to. So if anybody's listening at home and they're kind of on the fence about this, they're like, yeah, that all sounds great, but that's not a realistic outcome for me. I'm just Joe Schmo sitting at home. Like that's never going to happen. The fact of the matter is it could, and there are real people out there who are doing it. And I know this is probably a great place to plug your community, because there are other real people inside of the retirement rehab community that folks listening at home can connect with. And you'll hear, I'm sure, a dozen stories of people who did the exact same thing or something very similar and are living their dreams basically by working and living abroad and maybe running a business or maintaining an employment situation and doing some stuff on the side to make that dream a reality.
Yeah. So I would say that inside the community, inside retirement rehab community, it's a very lively debate as to what people are going to do. And there are some people that just say, you know, I'm just going to stay in the States. But I do get the idea that I want to, you know, kind of lower my cost of living. So they might move from Cleveland to some place that's less expensive. They don't need to be in an urban area. They could be a train ride or a longer car ride away and live more cheaply and accomplish, you know, something in between. So there's no requirement that in the community you have to pick a retire abroad option. But I would say there's a very lively debate, and people that haven't thought about it before or may have thought about it but felt a little bit uncomfortable about it. You can see a lot of questions being asked about, well, what's that really like? You know, and so it's really kind of exciting to see. And what I always suggest to people is, you know, take, you know, your 2 week vacation, and after you've researched someplace, go and visit it and see if you can, you know, see what it's like if you're really intrigued by it. Now you can't stay at a 5-star resort and expect to have that be the cost of living. You have to kind of figure out you know, what it's going to be like to live locally. And you know, but you can get a very good view by traveling someplace and seeing what the vibe is like in a 2-week vacation for sure. And obviously, the longer you spend or the more times you go back, the more comfortable you're going to be.
Yeah. And I love that idea. And you can do that 2 or 3 years in a row and visit a different location every time, or go back to the same location, just dive a little deeper, go to a different market, stay in a different neighborhood. And by the end of that, you'll have a great sense for if that's going to be a valid place for you to live indefinitely, or if you want to keep exploring. So I love that. And I love that the community exists at Retirement Rehab, because there's no better way to, I guess, remove any fears or anxiety somebody has about something than to talk to someone who's already done it, somebody who's 2 or 3 steps ahead of you. And you don't have to go read a random article on the internet and trust that it's good advice. You can talk to a person and they will literally tell you, here's what we did, here's what we would do differently if we could go back and do it. So I love that you have the book, you have Fund Your Retirement, and you've got the community to help anybody who's listening and thinking about this out and give them real world resources to kind of help them make an educated decision around this. So
let me just leave you with one teaser, which, you know, people kind of come across at some point in the analysis, which is, if you are thinking that you're going to develop a location independent income, every U.S. taxpayer can earn $104,100 in 2018 and not be subject to federal income tax. So if you are working with a spouse or a partner, you can each earn that and not pay federal income tax. You do have to pay payroll tax at 15%, but that substantially adds to the economics, the economic benefit of doing this exact same thing if you were to choose to supplement your retirement income living in the United States as opposed to not living in the United States. That's a huge deal.
Well, that's a great point to take it home with. You know, Ian, we've covered a lot of great information today. And of course, everything that we've talked about, from the book to the course to the community to Numbeo and some of the resources that you pointed us to help kind of make those cost of living calculations and evaluate a potential location, we're going to link all those up in the show notes. But I really appreciate your time as always, Ian. And I know the folks at home are going to get a lot of value out of this. And I'm sure that they might write into you and you might have an edit or an addition to the book. And it might not be 49 questions. It might be 101 questions next time, because we're going to have some folks dial in or email you and send some more questions. So, but thank you for your time today. And we'll come back. I'm sure we'll touch on this topic again and go a little bit deeper. But appreciate your time today, Ian. Thanks so much.
Thanks, James. It's a pleasure as always. It's great hooking up with you, and look forward to doing it again. Thanks.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks. Take care. So there you have it. Another great interview with Ian. Today we talked about retiring abroad and how, although it's a very attractive option in the minds of a lot of folks, who doesn't want to move to a country that they love visiting or move to a climate that has the weather that they would love to enjoy day in and day out? Of course, it's attractive to a lot of people, but it can also feel overwhelming because, strictly from a logistical perspective, there is the physical relocation. There's a certain perceived expense that comes with that. Of course, you're going to be leaving behind some of the personal relationships that you formed here in the U.S., but despite all of those things, I think today we really hammered home the point that there is a substantial amount of upside that comes with retiring abroad, and a lot of the disadvantages or a lot of the cons that might be associated with a concept can be overcome thanks to developments that we've had in technology and, of course, the economy and just the nature of connectedness that's taking place around the world. So I think that, you know, we have established that this is an attractive option, and today we shared a bunch of resources to help you make your personal decision as to whether or not this is the right next step for you as you progress along your retirement journey. So just a couple of those resources we talked about today were Ian's first book, Retire Abroad, 49 Questions Answered. And that is pretty self-explanatory in that if you have questions about what is required to retire abroad and what your lifestyle changes might be and what kind of impact that can have for your retirement planning and extending the runway that you have for yourself in retirement. That's a great resource. We also shared Ian's second book, which is called Online Business Basics, Fund Your Retirement. And that is a guidebook for helping you build a location-independent business that can generate revenue, that can sustain your lifestyle through retirement, regardless of where you are, if you want to have a home base here in the U.S. and travel frequently, or if you want to permanently relocate to another country. That book is going to give you a blueprint for building revenue streams that can sustain that indefinitely. And then, of course, we talked about the retirement rehab community as a source of support. If you're considering this lifestyle, you can connect with people who are 2, 3, 4, or even 5 steps ahead of you in that process and learn from their experiences so that you don't make the same mistakes or have the same delays. So we talked about all of those resources and more. And as always, those will be linked up in the show notes. If you want more information about what we talked about today, make sure that you go to redpillretirement.com and seek out episode 3 about retiring abroad. As always, we loved having you join us for this conversation, and we look forward to diving deeper into this topic and more on future episodes of the Red Pill Retirement Podcast. So until next time, hope you have a great day, and thanks for listening.